To get our Tfue in the next hour before Brendan Delaney takes over with Sunday Central. Group 1 racing at Randwick yesterday with the Winx Stakes. We'll look at that meeting first and then stakes racing also at Moonee Valley. So welcome in Dean Liston to the program. We've got plenty to get through in this hour, Dean.
Certainly do, Warren. Good morning to you. It was a very strong day of racing, very fast racing at Moonee Valley. I can't remember a quicker day at the Valley, especially in August, but the Group 1 racing with the Winx Stakes was certainly a highlight.
And the York races during the week, the Ebor run overnight. Have you have been able to take in a replay of the Ebor yet, Dean?
Yeah, for Johnny Murtar, ploughed through the conditions. The rain was came down and it was a strong win. I don't know how the Ebor fits in anymore towards, say, a Melbourne Cup, but it was certainly a strong staying performance.
Get yourself and Brendan's thoughts on a couple of races during the York Festival later on in the hour. Good morning to you, Brendan Delaney.
Good morning, Warren. Good morning, Dean. Good morning, all.
How did you find the racing yesterday?
Yeah, stark contrast to the meeting that was run this time last year, where we were called off after five or six races, and it was run in the dark in the middle of the day. Yesterday it was a firm deck, and they were going at triple the speed they went this meeting last year.
And some unfortunate incidents at Randwick, competitive racing at Randwick yesterday, Brendan, but we're hoping for as good a news as possible with Brenton Abdullah. Looks like he's going to have a bit of a time on the sidelines, and thoughts with connections of both Extreme Time and Brandenburg.
Yeah, it's been a really disheartening couple of days. We lost one at Bendigo, Herodias on Friday, collapsing after the race. Similar circumstances yesterday after the first, and then the two incidents in Sydney. So it hasn't been a great couple of days, but we wish connections of those horses all the very best and a speedy recovery to Brenton Abdullah.
Feature race around Australia yesterday was the Group 1 Winx Stakes at Randwick.
As they come up to the turn, and Think It Over's buried in the ruck as they turn. Dreamforce turns the corner in front by length and a half to Brandenburg. Now McDonald rouses along the great mare, very elegant. Mawung is a half length away, then Star of the Seas Colding. Down to the 200, Dreamforce still the leader. Coming through the middle is Brandenburg. Mawung, very elegant. She'll really have to lift as Mawung put the head in front. Very elegant's trying to fight back. There's a swarm coming late. Cascade in right down the outside, but Mawung's won it. Mawung, I think, it's beaten very elegant. There's been a fall here. I'm just got my concentration off who's run third there with K.I. Nordique and She's Ideal, Hungry Heart Colding. Then came...
Understandably there with Darren Flindell with the incident there with Brandenburg. Dino, where to look in this race?
Exactly right, Warren. We're looking forward to it as a clash. I thought that Mawunga was the last season three-year-old that might develop as a four-year-old because he looks so raw, and he had a beautiful run three wide with cover on the back of Very Elegant. Very Elegant, that's a good spot for a three wide. She loves that. She gets into a good rhythm. Her galloping action looks better. She is covering a bit of ground, but I think she's happier out there, and she ran really well. And then you've got the charge out wide, as you said, don't know where to look. She's Ideal, very good Cascadian, a pass, Think It Over went good. The Japanese horse was terrific. Hungry Heart was a funny run. Looked like they were going to all run away from her, and on the line she was starting to peg them back. So her run was even encouraging first up. So plenty to look forward to there. And I think often bunch finishers don't provide great form references. This might be one of those exceptions.
Your first thoughts, Brendan?
First thoughts are a few sort of unlucky runs in the race when they really jammed the brakes on coming to the turn. Think It Over, Hungry Heart, Imaging were all sort of midfield back down towards the inside, and they were left throwing their heads up in the air when they were coming to the turn. Not something that you expect in a race of this quality. And the first two across the line were out on that three wide line moving, and the horses out the back that have run on were able to avoid it. So I think we've really got to give bonus points to Think It Over, Imaging, Hungry Heart, that didn't get a lot of room here. And saying that, Mawunga's done a terrific job, Very Elegant. That's a perfect way for her to kick off, looking for races over further. The closers out wide, Cascadian, the Japanese runner, and She's Ideal, all very good. And unfortunately for Brandenburg, he probably looked as though at the time he went amiss, he might have had Very Elegant's measure and maybe the measure of Mawunga at that time, whether the swoopers might have got to him. We can only guess what might have happened there, but he was probably there to win the race.
two and a half lengths with the first 10 across the line, Dean, so not a lot between them. If we're trying to look for a feature race in particular, let's say she's ideal, how would you line her up with a mare, say, Realm of Flowers, that we know has got that spot in the cup and is right at the top of the betting?
Yeah, I think, Warren, you'd have to say she's ideal. She's got two really good runs at weight for age now. She's finished just ahead of Realm of Flowers, albeit maybe luckily in the Sydney Cup. But she, you know, you would think that with the, you know, probably travelling restrictions, her first target will be the Metropolitan and then, you know, build from there. But it was a very good start to her campaign. And every preparation, she seems to get that little bit better for Bjorn Baker. And for a staying horse, she's been in the top three, 16 of her 21 starts. So she's got a really good level of consistency.
Do you have a thought on where she might fit in, Brendan?
Well, if you're looking at it from a pure punting point of view, you're backing She's Ideal before you're backing Realm of Flowers, just for the fact that the price. Realm of Flowers, you're going to get similar to that, you would think, maybe, if not, you know, shorter than that on the day. But, you know, you're taking $13, $14 for her to be in the field, whereas you're getting a better price She's Ideal. So if you like both of them, you're backing She's Ideal now and probably waiting on what Realm of Flowers until race day.
Dean, I was chatting to Annabelle Neesham earlier this morning, and she has got the support of some high, powerful owners and been given some good stock, but she's had a terrific start to her training career. To my eye, how do you see her evolution?
Oh, absolutely, Warren, and it's no real surprise. She had a great foundation, you know, when she came to Australia working for Kieran Maher and then virtually running that Sydney operation, and then just by extension now out on her own with her name at the front, and she's a very good trainer, and she's done very well with Moonga, because that's a high-pressure situation to take a horse that was looking like a Group 1 winner and waiting for Chris Waller. He ran very well in a Caulfield Guineas, and she got the job done in the autumn with him winning a Rosehill Guineas. Now he's come back and won a more sprint Group 1, so his profile's really building in there, and what she did with Zaki. And her ability to back herself, she ran Zaki first up in a Doncaster and didn't miss by that much, so, you know, she's a very good trainer.
Good racing right throughout the day at Randwick yesterday. We'll get to the Silver Shadow shortly. The numbers for COVID in Victoria have just been released by the Department of Health and Services. 65 cases, locally acquired cases, and one overseas acquired case. Further information with respect to how many in the community and how many are linked will come to light shortly. But 65, Dino, we haven't got that many scratchings today, but that number's a little bit too high.
Not a lot between them, Warren, but yeah, no, it's an ongoing saga, isn't it? And yeah, we're going to be hearing those numbers for a fair while to come off here.
Swift Witness was the horse that had a quite busy two-year-old season. She lined up in the Shadow Stakes, taking on Four Moves Ahead yesterday.
They've really dropped anchor up front. Glistening just leads from Tillianum. Swift Witness, three out. Four Moves Ahead, four out. Five out is Love Me Tender, followed by Extreme Time, bottled up on the fence. Further back to Latino Blend. Mallory in a very bad spot, and Trafarcha's getting to the outside. Glistening, Swift Witness, and Four Moves Ahead is asked to finish it off now, and she put her head in front. Jamea's looking for room. Latino Blend's running a cheeky race. Four Moves Ahead, and Swift Witness. Swift Witness, the insider. Four Moves Ahead. Swift Witness goes home best to cause an upset. Swift Witness beat Latino Blend, and Four Moves Ahead third, then Jamea.
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
Very tough win by Swift Witness, three deep, really fought off Four Moves Ahead, who was there with her chance, was given a good ride by McDonald, but just couldn't get the upper hand from Swift Witness, who was probably getting further in front again in the last 50, like the effort of Latino Beat. But then Jamea, who might have caused any interference back to the inside, didn't have a lot of room, nor Mallory when it really counted. Winner was good, but there were some hard luck stories in behind, particularly Jamea Mallory.
I know you were batting up for Swift Witness as a chance at odds in some of the feature two-year-old races. Dino, how'd you see her return yesterday?
Yeah, she'd been trialling up quite well, but she's just tough, and it was a good, a resilient win. But again, I just think this Phillies group, we'll see, you know, possible exceptions coming through, and might have seen one at the Valley yesterday, and we get to see Argentia soon. But the Phillies group are just down a bit on the Colts. But in saying that, Swift Witness is one of the better fillies at 1,200 metres. Latino Blend, I thought, was a really smart two-year-old. I was staggered she got beaten first up at Kembla, but she put a lie to that yesterday and was big odds in and ran really well. And Four Moves Ahead, I think you've got to think maybe she's that little bit better on softer ground. She's run well, but I think she might be just a couple of lengths better when the ground softens up, but she's run okay.
Just chatting to Joe Pride about Private Eye and mapping out a path toward the Epsom. Dino, your thoughts on his win yesterday?
Hard not to be impressed with him, Warren. He's building a good record. It was a very gentle tempo, this race. They ran, thanks to daily sectional times, the first 400 about five lengths below standard and gradually built into it. And then it was a real dash for the cash. And Private Eye, the third best last 200 of the meeting. And even a horse like Rock, who's finished nowhere, he was home very sharp late. So it was a bit of a dash home, but it was probably a really good kick-off race for the likes of Private Eye, Ice Bath, and a few others going forward. That they haven't had a real gut buster first up, but they'll build off it. So, yeah, you'd think Theo Marks and Tramway and into the Epsom would be ideal for him, and still the Golden Eagle at the end of all of that.
How do you assess this race, Brendan?
Yeah, thought he was super. Private Eye coming back off what, as Dean outlined, wasn't a slow tempo. Splintex every chance up in front. Embracer first to get out after Splintex. Probably looked as though it was going to be Embracer's race, but Private Eye just got stronger as they went. The last 50 was really getting towards top gear. Thought it was a tremendous performance. I thought Ice Bath was good and Prime Star closed it off well, but it's going to be interesting to follow Private Eye through this preparation. He might really just bag a big one.
Change of fortunes for Joe O'Neill and the Prime Thoroughbreds, with Fatous winning the toy show, Brendan, after losing Extreme Time earlier in the day. And she's a mare we've seen a bit in Sydney. She's got that good turn of foot. What did you make of the win in the toy show?
Yeah, got the nice run on the back of Great News. Did a lot of the work for her. She was just able to get over the top late. They did a good job covering ground. I thought Forbidden Love closed it off well, and Tell You back to the inside where they weren't really in that race. It was sort of mid, like across the centre of the track and out a bit wider where the winners came from. And I thought Tell You did a good job. Forbidden Love was good at the back end on the heels of the first two. But Great News did a lot of the work for Fatous. They both did a good job, though, covering ground.
Take on this race, Dan?
Yeah, again, they didn't go that hard, Warren, and built into it, and it was a sharp finish, and for two second best last 200 of the meeting, getting the money. There was probably some good runs even further back. Obviously, Written Beauty got through late and ran well. Even a horse like Zaniah ran quite well there, and maybe better over a bit further. So, no, I think a handy mare's race. Tell You, I think she's a bit like Four Moves Ahead. I think she's a little bit better on softer ground, but she ran well first up.
They were the stakes races at Randwick yesterday. We're about to take a break and look at Moonee Valley. Anything else from the card, Dino, that was worth noting?
No, I think the features certainly held the key to the best performances of the day. Other than that, no, I'm thinking that I'll keep watching that Winx Stakes and trying to unlock the riddle, because there was so much going on.
Anything to add, Brendan?
No, features were the ones that caught the eye. Mawoonga, very good. As Dean outlined, the Winx Stakes is going to be a race where we're going to be referring to in the coming months, and maybe even the toy show as well. But no, features were where it was yesterday in Sydney. And I think a couple of the jockeys that went down, Rachel King and Brenton Afdala, both missed out on winners.
Yep,
a few pick-up rides.
Man, it's the way of the world sometimes, and certainly Rachel seems to have come through well. And thoughts with Brenton Afdala and his family down here in Melbourne, very well known and well loved in the racing industry. Our thoughts are with the Afdala family, hoping for some good news.
Direct Weight, brought to you by Tabs The Lock.
New on the Tab app.
T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Up towards the corner at the 400 metres, three quarters of a length, Estella Rocker. Then came Ballistic Lover, getting closer, a length off those. Two lengths, Queen Annabelle, Ashlaw, Grey Worm and Miss Albania still last around the turn. At the 200, Estella Rocker puts it to Ancestry. Ballistic Lover still right there. At the 100, Estella Rocker and Ballistic Lover. Ballistic Lover pounds up, takes the lead, and Ballistic Lover has won the car line a half. Estella Rocker, two lengths, Miss Albania from Ashlaw and Ancestry.
You were referencing yesterday, Dean, you're a fan of Joe Pride travelling horses. What did you make of Ballistic Lover's win yesterday?
Yeah, well, hard not to like that performance, Warren. She was really good. Showed it that, as Joe mentioned in the interview with you, that she doesn't just have to jump and run, and she just blended into the race beautifully. Damien Lane, just pretty to watch in that, most scenarios, but just rode her perfectly to beat Esther LaRocca, who Gave a great sight. I thought as fast as she is, I just didn't know if she'd be quite good enough for that grade. But she ran really well, and Miss Albania just picked the wrong day to miss the start, just trying to anticipate the start a bit and got it wrong. And from there, she was on the back foot chasing. She did a good job to run third, but she was totally out of position right from the get-go.
One from Mark via the SMS, Dean, before we get to Brendan. Can Dino explain the ride on Miss Albania? You've said that she missed the start. After missing the start, four wide on the home turn, according to Mark, the horse wasn't given any chance. Your thoughts there, Dean?
I don't know where else you're going to go. You play for luck inside tiring horses, and the inside wasn't where you really wanted to be. I would have thought... it was probably the only option by that stage. Grey Worm, I think you can see probably at about the 600, Jamie Carr's on the back of Grey Worm and hoping that he gets going into the race, but he didn't sort of quicken, so she's actually had to put the horse into the race and try and win it. And unfortunately, that means going around one, and hence your four wide.
Thoughts, Brendan?
Well, Jamie's got a pretty good clock in her head. I'm sure she knew how fast they were going, and those horses in front of her were going to be tiring. So you don't want to be, having a full head of steam up and trying to duck and dive between them and maybe put yourself into a bit of trouble. And at least she gets a bit of a run and a bit of a blowout by bringing her to the outside and finishing her off. Her race was probably over when she missed the start, so she was never a winning chance from that point. So I think that was the only option for her to go around. The Ballistic Lover, I think if you watch a Stewart's film, when they come through the gap towards the turn, I think Damien Lane's got a bit of a grin on his face. He was pretty happy with how things were unfolding. You're going to have a great deal of respect for Joe Pryde when he brings these sprinters down, as Dean's touched on, and she just got a lovely run. Probably a little bit of a blessing that she was a little bit of a fraction slow. Ancestry did come out humming, but just allowed her to get that beautiful drop off the back. Esther La Rocca, really good. We've seen that form line backed up in Adelaide last time. Out Miss Albania, the case made for her, and then Ashlaw beat the rest of them home. Interesting to hear Wiley Dalziel speak yesterday morning with Dan, Matt and Michael about a report Michael Poy gave on the horse in Warrnambool about how he can how he's a highly strung horse and how he can get a little bit maybe claustrophobic or similar when the other horses get alongside him, but he didn't have that yesterday, but that wasn't him at his best. But Ballistic Lover I thought was really good, given a sweet ride by Damien.
Plenty of love for Gator via the SMS. Had the quaddy in his numbers on the Saturday panel yesterday. Well done to you, Gator. Hopefully we can get you back next week. The other stakes feature at Moonee Valley yesterday was the Mackenzie Stakes, an important race for the Stallion Extravagant, and a good race for Daniel Moore, Trent Besutton and Nat Young.
At the 400 metres, a length and a half, Rock Artist, two lengths, he's exceptional. Athel Rick about four off the lead, hooked to the outside. Then came Halal, who's going to be the widest into the straight, and Daily Bugle making up ground. Jigsaw in the running at the 200 metres, led by a length, he's exceptional. And they were followed by Athel Rick down the outside. Jigsaw grabbed by, he's exceptional. He's exceptional, takes the lead, and it's going to be an upset. He's exceptional, won the Mackenzie from Jigsaw and Athel Rick. Next in the field, Daily Bugle from Halal.
Well, an upset from a market point of view. Brendan, your thoughts on the race?
Fast run race. Jigsaw wasn't having any of the little battles he had last time with Rock Artist, and they really had the foot down and were running from a long way out, and he's exceptional was the one that just had the drop on them. Hylal, he was disappointing in his chase. He was on the back of Athelric coming towards a turn, maybe within three quarters of a length of him, and then Athelric's really dropped him late, and he's hit the line well, Athelric, but he's put a couple of lengths quickly on Hylal. Jigsaw, he was tough to the end after really riding that speed, and I think Daily Bugle was a really good closing effort after Covey saving ground back towards the inside, really hit the line nicely. But winner got a sweet ride, but really liked the performance of Athelric back in third.
Nothing in the stewards report from Halal. Jai McNeil commenting, Dean, that he was further back than intended due to the quick tempo, and he finished the race off satisfactorily, but nothing from a veterinary examination post the race. Your thoughts here, Dean?
Yeah, Warren, I thought that it was a very fast race. Obviously, Jigsaw blinkers on, and Ben Mellum didn't give him a squeeze or anything out of the gates. He did the opposite. He was just trying to just keep him as calm as possible. But in the end, from about the 800 to the 400, he was just a passenger. He was off and gone, and it really strung the race out. And he's exceptional. Was in a beautiful spot, and you know, credit to him. He was able to take advantage of that spot and find the line. I thought, like Brendan, I think Athelric was a really good closing performance. He actually picked up late on a fast speed. Daily Bugle, he ran well. He cut the corner. Halal got a little bit hot going to the barriers, I thought. And, I don't know what to make of that run, whether it was just too fast the tempo for him at 1,200. But I would have expected just a little bit more from him, but yeah, jury out and maybe onto a bigger track next time. But no, all honours with the winner. Daniel Moore, smart ride, took advantage of pretty much a guaranteed speed with Rock Artist and Jigsaw in the race.
Racing's full of unknowns, Dino. What do you think the situation might have been if the blinkers weren't on Jigsaw yesterday? Could it have been an opportunity for him to win the race?
Yep, absolutely. I think he laid up outside the lead because he's gone pretty kindly without them. And that would have been a totally different structured race. Whether horses like Halal and that would have got on the bit and got home better, who knows. But certainly Jigsaw, I think, for him to hang on like he did was a terrific effort. But if he'd paced himself a little bit better, that might have been his stakes win.
He's exceptional taking out the Mackenzie Stakes. Back to the top of the card, we might have seen a future stakes winner in Zuzarella on debut.
Up around the corner at the 250. Sliders from Decent Rain. Queen of Dubai getting tired. Zapateo needs a run. So too Star Spirit. Decent Rain in the straight at the 150. Star Spirit getting through and Zuzarella right down the outside. Zuzarella takes the lead from Zapateo. Zuzarella in front and just one. Zuzarella has won from Zapateo and Wonderful Tonight late for third. Star Spirit, Caliper, Decent Rain there.
Brett Prebble really re-establishing himself back here. Dino, what did you make of that win yesterday?
Yeah, it was a lovely ride because this was a totally different structure to what we just spoke about with the Mackenzie Stakes. Sliders led, that they went very steady and they actually backed off down the side. And Brett Prebble took an opportunity to get on the back of Wadad at about the 700-metre mark. Had Wonderful Tonight back to his inside, so he had the other first starter probably exactly where he wanted it, and from there just built into the race. I thought it was a really, really clever ride and was able to win. Zapateo ran well. Conversely, she just had to get held up a little bit getting through, hit the line really well, really quickened up well late. Wonderful Tonight, terrific debut. I think had she got that spot on the back of Wadad, she may well have won. And Kenny Keys can find one. I think Caliper's a really nice filly. He ran her in a good race in the autumn and first up hit the line really sweetly here. Might be better over further. But a slowly run race and a bit of a dash home, but the winner you couldn't help but be impressed with.
You've referenced that they were running some fast times, Dino. Overall, how did you see the track playing yesterday with respect to its rating and perhaps whether the wind was a factor at times?
Oh, I think the wind, well, one dried it out. I don't know, not being there, you don't really get a feel for how it's sort of affecting the runners, but it dried it out. And I would think that you could nearly retrospectively say the last two or three races were nearly a firm two, to be honest. That's how much it dried it out. But certainly at the start of the day, I think the jockeys were coming in and saying, yeah, it's a good four. But the sun on it and the wind certainly dried it right out.
Before you get your thoughts on the race, Brendan, your thoughts on the overall conditions and the track yesterday?
Yeah, firmed up throughout the day, but that's always going to be the case when you probably get an unseasonal sort of day like we had, pushing up around, just short of 20 degrees with a bit of wind. It's going to dry out naturally, and it was always going to firm up towards the end with those sort of conditions, but I thought the track played really well. Every now and then, well, a few races, there were riders keen to just edge away from that inside three or four horses and maybe get out onto that fifth lane in the straight, but apart from that, I thought it played pretty well.
What about the performance of the winner and others in the first?
Yeah, Zuzarella, really good. Momentum was key. Prebble was able to build that while the likes of Zapateo, Star Spirit were all cluttered up back in behind, waiting for their opportunity. He capitalised well. Prebble, I think Zapateo probably goes pretty close to winning if he had the same amount of momentum as the winner did. I thought Wonderful Tonight was really good. Star Spirit, I thought, did a good enough job after racing up behind the speed and having to work in some restricted room down on the inside. And Dino's touched on Caliper, walked out of the gates, gave them a massive start and had a full head of steam up going through the line. Winner's good, won't be dropping off the runner-up, though, with the lack of momentum and being in restricted room at a vital stage.
David and Coral Feek are doing a terrific job with Belle Ciel. She was unlucky at Mowi a while ago. She's had a Caulfield victory since then, and then she went to the Valley yesterday in race two.
Vestal. Coming up towards the turn, it's Bell Ciel up on the outside of Malacorn, and they dash 2.5, Love Sensation. Pinion hunting the fence with Don't Tell the Boss as they straighten, then Foxy Lady. Malacorn headed off by Bell Ciel halfway up the straight. Love Sensation getting out, but Bell Ciel draws clear from Love Sensation, and Bell Ciel punched out a half. Love Sensation, Don't Tell the Boss, and Malacorn.
Preble again. How did he work this one out, Brendan?
Yeah, pretty similar to the last time this filly was able to, or mare, I should say, was able to score. Found a rival, stalked a rival, and went on to win. Malacorn had a run you could only dream of in front. By the time they got to the 800, you thought, well, if she's there and ready to fire, should just be kicking off the turn and winning. But Preble pulled the pressure on before the bend, had the upper hand. Malacorn found very little, and Balciel was really good. I thought Love Sensation did a good job. Pinion back down to that ground that probably wasn't the best. It was a really solid runner, and Don't Tell the Boss back off an okay speed. Didn't help herself when she got her head up when the gates opened and gave them a bit of a start, but you probably suspect she was going to be back there anyway. Maybe not back quite as far, but I thought her closing effort was good with no weight on her back. But Preble got this one right again on this mare. Very similar circumstances to how he won on her at Caulfield 2 runs ago.
Ben Malam wrote Malacorn Dino in the stewards report. Ben comments that she was first up and, in his opinion, was not suited with the weight impost and would benefit from the run. Malacorn, who effectively led and had Balciel sitting to the outside. How did you see the race, Dean?
Yeah, I thought she had a pretty easy time of it in front, Warren, to be honest. Maybe her fitness will improve Malacorn off the back of that run. But what I thought was probably a smart move of Preble's here was he sat the first part of the race, he sat that length and a half off, and then when he went to Malacorn, he did it quickly with momentum, and I thought it was, he used his race fitness and his momentum absolutely at the right time. So it was a smart ride. It was very much a dash home because of the gentle speed that Malacorn set up early. Love Sensation ran well, Don't Tell the Boss. She runs on in these sort of races. Pinion, if there was a negative to the track, yes, that was right on the fence. Got to give a pat on the back to Brent Zarafa of racing.com. He puts out a track walk before every meeting on Twitter, and he absolutely nailed it yesterday. So it's great information because we can't get on course at the moment and check it out and give it feedback. So when you get that feedback, it's really good.
Yeah, terrific work there from BZ. What about Love Sensation, Dino? Gentle tempo, as you said. What could Kev Corson's aim her up at?
Oh, look, I think it's because she's still got a handicap rating, Warren, but she'll probably aim up at some of the better races because she has in the past. And, 1,400, I don't know if she has a go at a race like the Let's Elope or something. She'd be well out of the handicaps, but she's a talent and there is a nice race in her, especially, I think, if they run along a bit stronger than yesterday's race.
Declan Bates and Lindsay Smith are developing a terrific partnership, and Corner Pocket's part of that. He went around race 3 yesterday, shooting for 7 in a row.
Shot, a length and a quarter, Innkeeper, Ocular, last of all, Creeping Ground on the inside, Yalong Storm. Corner Pocket was able to slow it down in that 200-metre stanza, and now comes up to the turn at the 300 metres, quick and a half in front of Rock Tycoon, a length and a half, Front Page, Mystery Shot, Innkeeper, Yalong Storm, Ocular, into the straight, Corner Pocket at the 150, sprints for the Doctor, a length and a quarter in front of Rock Tycoon, Ocular's flying home, Corner Pocket at the 50, Ocular's flashing at Corner Pocket, but Corner Pocket does it again. 7 in a row from Ocular. Photo third, Yalong Storm, Front Page.
Oh, what a terrific performance, both from the horse, trainer and rider, Dino. 7 in a row is not easy to do anywhere.
Definitely not, Warren. And he's a beauty, Corner Pocket. He just didn't begin that well yesterday, but when you watch the stewards film, Front Page just jumped outwards a little bit, so there was straight away the room for Declan Bates to drive up. Front Page being first up, Lewis German probably didn't ride with as aggressively if he was really hard fit. And the other thing about Front Page is you can see why he's a good straight horse. He wandered on every turn yesterday. I don't think the Valley really suited him, so I thought he got a pass on resumption. But with regard to the winner, he's better at 1,400. He's probably better on bigger tracks, but he does find a way how to win. Ocular, home in the best last 200 of the meeting. Yulong Storm took that straight form that he's been running well at Flemington with to the Valley and got through and placed. He's in career best form. A bunch finished behind the winner, but as you said, he finds a way to win, and the bar gets raised from here, but he's going very well.
So raising the bar and perhaps aiming at a race like the Sir Rupert Clark, is that a realistic objective for a horse coming through the grades like him, Dean?
I think you've got to have a go, Warren. I think Declan Bates would know, with a horse that's in form with a winning streak like Be Good to Your Mother did a couple of years ago, go into that race in that sort of form with the racing style he's got, you're a good chance of being in the money. So I would think he's got to have a go at a race like that.
Reading from the Stewards Report, Brendan, front page who we hadn't seen for a while, raced keenly in the middle stages. Lewis German reported his opinion the gelding would appreciate racing on tracks with more give. Nothing from a veteran examination, so you would think front page would improve with that run. Brendan, how did you see the race?
Yeah, most certainly. He just raced a bit fresh up the side. He was trying desperately to hold him in that one wide line, but he ended up pretty much racing 2.5 wide and 3 deep in stages just because he wouldn't drop the head and relax. Caught a pocket. Super win again. Lindsay Smith, Declan Bates got it right with him. Whatever they're doing, they need to keep on doing. Most horses struggle to win 7 races, let alone win 7 on the bounce. And you just had the feeling that if you just watch his ears in the last, between the 100 and the 50, you can feel, get the sense that he felt ocular coming at him and he was going to be able to hold him off had it been a little bit further ocular. Again, just like he was at Caulfield last time, just had to be given that little bit of a reminder early on in the race to put him in the spot. I know they scooted down the back towards that first turn, but he just had to be given a little reminder just to get himself into the race, and he closed it off well. Yulong Storm, good again. Rock Tycoon battled it out okay. Innkeeper was under pressure a long way out. A Mystery Shot had to run on his stable mate and couldn't finish it off, but you'd expect Corner Pocket to really step up and take advantage of being rock hard fit going to a feature.
Dino, it was a good day for the Mar and Eustace stable, and with the COVID restrictions, racing awards nights and celebrations not able to be held at the moment, a broadcast of the Country Racing Awards was put to air on racing.com last night, and probably worth recapping the winners here, Dean. The Country Horse of the Year was Wentwood, multiple Country Cups winner. Kieran Maher and David Eustace were the trainers of the year with the most wins. Johnny Allen, the jockey. Laura Lafferty was the most winning apprentice, Country Victoria. And acknowledgement awards to Mark Lucas. I know someone that you know well, Dino, and we've got to know over the years, a real passionate racing supporter, breeder, and particularly with jumps racing. Ken Keating, who's well known as a clerk of course through the country racing circuit. And our own Andrew Hughes, who's pushing the buttons at the station this morning, was acknowledged for his support in country racing media. So some worthy winners there, Dean.
Certainly, and yeah, a special congratulations to Andrew. What he does for country racing should never be sold short, and it was acknowledged last night because the interviews that we get to hear of tracks from as far in the west as Edenhope, down to Bairnsdale and everywhere in between, I think are great advertisements for the clubs and a reminder of what grassroots racing is all about.
The trainers that took out of the ward, Kieran Maher and David Eustace, certainly the Metropolitan winning trainers as well, and they saddled up Floating Artist, second up, an import in race 4 yesterday.
Petruccio, De Niro niggled at second last, and Coolt at the end of the field, approaching the turn at the 300 metres, and Think and Fly has a few off the bit, a length and a half, Smoke Bomb, Nudge Bar, then Floating Artist, De Niro making ground towards the inside, followed by Coolt, and then Petruccio, Think and Fly at the 150, led Smoke Bomb, Floating Artist on the outside, Think and Fly grabbed by Floating Artist, and Coolth on the outside, Floating Artist just in front, Floating Artist just beat Coolth, Think and Fly, De Niro I'd say up for fourth, followed by Petruccio.
Old Darren Thomas's colours to the fore there, Brendan, with the Quinella. Your thoughts here?
Yeah, Floating Artist, three back the inside, edged off at about the 750, and he was able to push clear on the turn when Diasonic was calling it a day, and had a full head of steam up when it was required. Those in front of him had done some work through the early part of the race. Think and Fly worked for the first half, as did Smoke Bomb, so they were always going to be vulnerable towards the back end. Coolth got onto the back of the winner. He hit the line like a horse that's really ready to show... is what he's made of. Tony McAvoy's always had a really strong opinion of him. He's got big goals set for him, and that was a really encouraging run yesterday. Denaro back off that heavy track run in Adelaide. I thought he was okay back towards the inside, and then Smoke Bomb Think and Fly, that work that they did through the first part of the race, just told on them late, and Diasonic didn't want to play the game yesterday. She raced really fiercely being up there in the 1-1, but Floating Artist, his best work has been over a little bit further in the UK, so it's going to be interesting to see, after carrying the big weight yesterday, what his goals are going to be. You'd think they'd be aiming up over something a little bit better, over a little bit further, but the second horse is definitely ready to win a race.
Your take on this race, Dean?
Yeah, pretty much Brendan summed it up there. I think it was a lovely ride by Ethan Brown on Floating Artist. Got out and got his momentum up. Coolth Barrier 1 around the valley was always going to be a problem, but actually Luke Curry made the best of an awkward situation and followed Floating Artist through and really hit the line well. So he's very close to a win. I like that Ollie took the opportunity on Think and Fly. He had a big weight, but he kept him rolling, and that's what we haven't seen of him late from inside draws. We could hear on that audio the Ollie screaming about the 100, but it didn't get him over the line. He ran really well. De Niro, Smoke Bomb, Petruccio, they're around this sort of grade, but the winners, you know, the winner and the second horse are the horses going ahead, you know, for future races.
And what do you think they might aim up at, particularly with an import Floating Artist who's only had the two runs here?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's an interesting case study in the short term. You know, whether he's good, you know, goes through the classes a bit more and then ends up in a race like the Ballarat Cup, which is such a rich race at the end of the spring, or he's lengthened out over further and a Bendigo Cup might beckon. But I like the style of him. I like the improvement he made from first to second run in attitude. He really lost his way pre-race at Caulfield yesterday. He's a lot better. And so, you know, he's typical of the Mare Eustace horses. He's in their system now, and he's learning all the time.
We've got plenty of SMSs to get through shortly. One of them revolves around Smoke and Romans, who was shooting for a picket fence in race 5.
To the front, 400 metres to go from Reflect the Stars, three quarters of a length away. Tavi Run is struggling now, passed by Prince Ziggy, also Grey Khan, and on the outside, Nerve Not Verve into the straight at the 250. Smoke and Romans by a length, Reflect the Star, who is full bore. Two lengths, Nerve Not Verve running on from Prince Ziggy, but Smoke and Romans halfway up the straight, it's home. Two and a half, Reflect the Stars, Nerve Not Verve, Prince Ziggy, and Smoke and Romans three on the trot. Reflect the Stars second, Nerve Not Verve third from Prince Ziggy.
Paul from Adelaide's chimed in via the SMS. Dino, thank you for your contribution. Paul, morning all, trust you're well. What is the aim for Smoke and Romans? Very impressive again. Thoughts on De Graves? We'll get to De Graves shortly. Brian Martin always said, no special today, just take the 4x4 quaddie. Well, if you did that, David Gately's tips, you landed the quaddie. And for the record, I didn't. Well, Paul, I wish you did, but hopefully you ended up on the right side of the ledger. Let's talk about the race first of all, Dino, before we talk about where Smoke and Romans might end up. How did you see it?
Yeah, other than the margin, I'd nearly seen this race before, Warren. Smoke and Romans gradually worked his way around to the front or outside the lead. And Josh Richards, I think, you know, that's a real feather in his cap. You know, Jamie Carr rode the horse last start, and he obviously took a bit out of that. And probably had a little bit of a moment early in the race where T.O. Nugent got suspended, came across him fairly quickly on Crimson Ace, and he probably then had to just, you know, regroup and then think it through, and he just gradually worked up outside the lead, backed his horse in, and the horse won really well. To me, he's, you know, he looks like he'd probably go to a race like the Ansett Classic at Mornington and nearly win that and see where he heads from there. But they did that last year with High Emotion coming through the grades, and I would think similarly for Smoke and Romans. He's going well. Restricted class race, but Reflect the Stars is a good honest stayer, and Nerve Not Verve ran okay, but he had a significant margin over them, so he's ready to go to that next sort of level.
Brendan?
Yeah, controlled the race from the breeze. As Dean outlined, was almost a carbon copy of last time. Took his time getting around to the breeze and just controlled it from there. Reflect the Stars, Nerve Not Verve, Prince Ziggy. They're all chasing from a long way off. They were making their runs pretty much as soon as they swept off the back and onto the side at about the 750. They were out and chasing, so that probably was taxing on the way they were going to finish the race off. Couple of hard luck stories for the race. Prince Albie would have probably been a chance at running into second or third money. He was stopped at a vital stage of the race when he was just starting to get a full head of steam up about the 5.50, and just as soon she seemed to have plenty to offer back on the fence, but she ran into the back of Grey Khan and Tavi Run when they were coming back through. So just a real forget run for just as soon, who was making the step up in grade and looking to keep the unblemished record this prep.
I think, Dean, you referenced copying a little bit of interference early, T.O. Nugent getting a suspension for Josh Richards. I also thought that Craig Williams was as positive as he could be, just trying to make sure Smoke and Romans did a bit of work early. So Josh had to sort of assess that and then continue to roll. So I thought Craig Williams rode to try and give himself every opportunity and then was there to stalk Smoke and Romans. But Josh and the horse were just too good.
I thought there were a few moments in the race where Craig Williams starred, and that was one of them early, and made him work. And then at about the 1,000, he didn't go straight up onto the back of Crimson Ace. He sat back off, and so all those others behind were disadvantaged. So he had them beaten because he'd put them further back. Then he strode into the race with purpose, but he couldn't get past Smoke and Romans. So Craig Williams did all he could to beat the favourite, but he didn't have the horse good enough to do it.
Warren from Vermont, a regular contributor, Dean, and this is rubbing salt into my wound, but he's talking about the Rammers Ruffy and yesterday Think and Fly, but he said both you and Warren were giving a push for Floating Artist, who was good odds. Did we miss a trick there? Certainly I missed a trick in terms of being able to capitalise on giving Floating Artist a chance. And, gee, it would have been a terrific Rammer Ruffy, Dino.
It would have been, but at 7.30 on Friday, Warren, he wasn't in my top four, but three of them were scratched, so I was left with Think and Fly to beat him. So, if I'd known the scratchings a day earlier, he could well have been the Rammer Ruffy, but that's why he wasn't, for those that have reminded me many times on Twitter over the past 12 hours.
Always a logical explanation, Dino. Smoke and Romans off to bigger and better races after taking out race five on the card. Pancho appeared to be in a high-pressure race 7, over 2040.
5.50 out. Starcaster three-quarters of a length in front as the field attempt to pack up. Pancho second, yet to be called upon. Grand Promenade makes a line of three at the 400. Two lengths, Solsamore, and then a gap to Actow and Mahamadeus, but Pancho slides to the front at the 300 metres with Grand Promenade the main threat. Then Starcaster whacking away from Solsamore into the straight. Pancho at the 150. It's been a brutal contest, but Pancho led by a length and a half. Grand Promenade peppering away, but Pancho Show full of running is clear, extends the lead, and Pancho won it well, three lengths. Grand Promenade second, Starcaster rallied for third for fourth.
Looked a really high pressure race, as brutal as Matty Hill described it. Brendan, how did you see it?
Yeah, Starcaster put himself back in the naughty corner yesterday, and maybe Sovereign Award did later on. Both would appreciate the services of Jamie Carr in the future, but we were questioning Pancho's ability to run out a strong 2,000 a couple of weeks ago, and then he's done it on one of the fastest 2,000-metre races ever run at Moonee Valley. Carl DiOrio tweeting out fastest as some of the Cox Plates we've seen. Pancho yesterday, he was up there throughout and stuck it out really well. Grand Promenade was good in second. You would think that's only going to propel him on that run. Starcaster's done a good job to run third after going back to his old ways of getting a full head of steam up and not wanting to play the game responsibly. He went out at some really fast splits, and Matt Cartwright was just a passenger. Mahamadeus, it's the tempo he likes, but he was just too far back to capitalise. Coming to the turn, you couldn't have had enough in the run on Salsamore, but he punctured after chasing, and then a few of them just got a fair way back out of their ground home by midnight for a jumping run. Has done a good job. High Emotion was on the leader's back by the time when they got to the winning post the first time. By the time they got out towards the 1200 metre turn, he was the best part of 15 lengths off Starcaster. So just to show how quick he went up the side of the track there and set up the brutal tempo. I didn't think Pancho could do it on that pace, but he proved me wrong yesterday.
Dino, your thoughts here?
Yes, well, I did set Carl DiOrio that task as soon as they went across the line. I wanted to know how it fit in with the... and I knew he was our man, and it'll be a trivia question for years to come. The four fastest 2040s at the moment are all Chris Waller horses. Three Winks and Pancho. That's quite remarkable. But Pancho was tremendous. He rode that speed. It was a terrific win. Run of the day for me at the Valley. He just maintained a terrific gallop to the line. Grand Promenade, that's the highest pressure he's ever been exposed to. And I think he, being first up off a short break, he had residual fitness, but he'll benefit a lot from that, I think, just in race sense and everything. So he went well. And Starcast, yeah, he just seems to be a one-trick pony. It's a Jamie Carr show for him. I think Matty Cartwright did as good a job as he could, but as we've referenced, he went out 15 and a half lengths above average early, so that means that he was going Cox Plate speed, and the rest came in at fair intervals. But the winner was absolutely tremendous.
I'm glad you set Carl that task, because it's disappointing when he's sitting by his phone on a Saturday afternoon just waiting for instructions from you and he doesn't get them on some occasions. So great that you're able to at least give Carl something he can get his teeth stuck into.
About 3 minutes after race seven, I set him the task. About 5 minutes after race seven, I got the answer. He's better than Google.
He is, and Pancho might be aiming up at a better race. He was able to absorb that pressure, and really positive ride from Craig Williams yesterday. One via the SMS, we've talked about the Carline Stakes, Dino, but Rhino from Deniliquins chimed in. Good morning, gentlemen. Do you think Joe Pride's one of the best sprint distance trainers in the country and also a great hit-and-run trainer? Well, I think you've already outlined your thoughts there, Dean.
Yeah, I think that, but I think he's just a great trainer in general, Warren. We've seen him with terrific stayers over the journey, Doncaster winners, Vision and Power, and Group 1 winners down here, winning the Meyer Classic. So he's just a really, really, I sort of rate him like the Sydney equivalent of Mick Price. He's a real straight shooter, and they win a lot.
Thoughts, Brendan?
Yeah, he doesn't miss too often with the short course horses. More so, you'd like to know his strike rate when he comes down for 1,000 metres or 1,100 metres at Caulfield. He's got a really good record. He had Ball of Muscle and the like come down and fly the flag for him there, but the filly yesterday did a really good job.
Craig Williams was aboard Viral for Danny O'Brien in the last at the Valley yesterday.
Partner El Galeel Defibrillate, Sovereign Award with Smaller Steps now, and De Graves moves up on the outside and claims it with Viral. It's De Graves going for home at the top of the straight at the 150. Viral going with it, and Skyman up on the inside. Viral and Skyman go together with De Graves winning. Partner laid out wide. Skyman, Viral, they hit it. Viral! Viral's won the last from Skyman. Shot of Irish, photo four.
Brendan, what are your thoughts on the last? I was had Skyman as a little bit of a danger to De Graves in the last. I thought he was going to sneak up and give me a result in the last. How did you see it?
He tried his best too. He was a really good run. Skyman saved a lot of ground up the inside. Sovereign Award did a Starcaster, or Starcaster did a Sovereign Award. She got into one of those little moods she can get into where she wants to roll, and Jamie Carr seems to have the key to get her to relax, and she wasn't on board yesterday. So she was off doing her thing, setting up a good tempo. Viral close enough to the speed to take advantage, and he toughed it out well. Skyman good. I thought Shot of Irish was a terrific run, was up there on the heels of Sovereign Award and then a couple of lengths off, but when it looked like Shot of Irish was gone on the turn, has really battled on well to only be beaten just under a length. Winning Partner, huge run, circling run. I thought Romancer might have got a little bit closer. He didn't seem to handle the bend all that well. Once he got himself balanced up again, he rattled through the line. He's going terrifically. De Graves got himself into a winning position and just petered out late when he was there to win. He hasn't been beaten all that far, and maybe he might be an improver with the run under his belt, but I thought he was there to win the race, and Viral's done a good job, Skyman a good job, Shot of Irish was terrific, but you'd think Winning Partner has made its way into a lot of black books off the run yesterday.
Dean, you're referencing that we're probably close to a firm two by this stage. Frank's asked about De Graves via the SMS, and there's quite a few questions about De Graves, but can be summarised by just talking about him, and Frank just wondering whether he's better on a soft track than a good track.
I think it's a really valid point. I don't know if a good four would be a problem, but that track had really firmed up, and that's nature. But he shortened up noticeably in his action late in the race. And if you stopped the film there and on the home turn and said, this horse in the navy blue and white's not going to run the first five, you'd be amazed, because he had momentum up, but I don't think it was a fitness thing. I think it was more like he seemed to shorten up on the really firm ground. Viral, I had a doubt on him running 1500, but maybe because the ground was so firm, there's no resistance in the ground, so that, you know, they're skimming across the top of it. He just got the money. Skyman, yeah, we were hoping he could get there as a bit of a value chance. As Brendan mentioned, Shot of Irish, when the real sprint went on, he just couldn't go, and De Graves put two lengths on him, and he's ended up beating De Graves significantly. And, yep, winning partner will get a mention in a few minutes' time. I think he's right on track to win back-to-back Balaclava Cups.
Sovereign Award, who went keenly, as we've seen her do. She pulled up with a slow recovery. So she doesn't do herself any favours, Dino, by just wanting to get it all over and done with.
Yeah, and I heard post-race with Ben Gleeson that she did that in the All Stakes and bounced back and won a couple of times after that last preparation, because you wouldn't think it's an ideal start to a preparation to go so hard. But even Warren at the jump out recently at Flemington, she was virtually, I think Damien Lane was virtually a passenger that day as well.
Shot of Irish, we talked about the merit of his performance. He's another one, Brendan. I'll go to you first. He's much better off with some give in the ground, so he's going very well for the Brunton stable.
Yeah, most definitely. A little bit of give in the ground is always going to be a benefit for him. But he was okay at Flemington leading last time out. His return was good. So just hopefully that firmer track doesn't knock him around too much. Interesting to see how he pulls up with that firming ground yesterday. But you would think he's not far away off winning again.
Yeah, he's a much better horse with some give in the ground, Dean, isn't he?
Oh, he certainly is, Warren. And yeah, he ran a tremendous race. He's in good form, he's just got to get that little bit more jar out of the track, and he can be winning the right race.
Overnight, one of the races that has been a feature and perhaps a guide to the Cups in years gone by was run at York, the Ebor.
Inside the final quarter mile, Quickthorn, taken on by Sonny Boy Liston, who's come from a long way back here. They go back to battle this out inside the final furlong. Alan Knapp running on with on the far side Shanro. Great battle on the near side though. Sonny Boy Liston is delivering a knockout blow and is just in front. And Sonny Boy Liston is going to win the Ebor narrowly from Quickthorn. And then Alan Knapp was back in third.
Well, I'll start with you, Brendan, as a race caller. Do you think he'd been rehearsing that knockout blow for a while there?
Maybe a little bit. Sonny Boy Liston, so he's jumped up in market. Only had a quick look at the race. It's a race that sucked me in the last couple of years, and I'm happy to let the Ebor go past me this year.
Dean, you were saying at the start of the show that you weren't too sure the strength of this year and how you'd line it up. What are your thoughts on the race overall?
Yeah, look, I think it's obviously a good handicap race, but it's not what we look to as much with the Melbourne Cup runners now. A horse like Spanish Mission, who ran against Stradivarius earlier in the week, is the one that people are wanting to talk about if he comes out. So that's a different level up again. That's the more elite staying level. So, I think he's the one of more interest to come out of the York Festival.
Yeah, what did you make of that toe-to-toe battle with Stradivarius?
It was a great race, wasn't it? I think we're seeing the back end, obviously, of Stradivarius' career, but we saw him win on heart on the other night. But Spanish Mission certainly ran well, and that form you would think would carry him forward to be a competitor in Melbourne should he get here.
We're very popular in Deniliquin. Bruce from Deniliquin's got one via the SMS panel. Do you have any early thoughts on the Memsey next Saturday? Will Bo Rosser come across and be ridden more quietly instead of a sitting shot like last start? You got any thoughts on how the Memsey might shape up next week, Dean?
I think that with regard to Bo Rosser, I think that was more circumstance than anything, how the race just shaped up. But you would think there'd be more speed. Behemoth's going to be there. Tefane, obviously Bo Rosser. Agon over from New Zealand for the Murray Baker team. Sierra Sue, we saw win the Lawrence Superstorm. I think the market's pretty right with Behemoth and Tefane, both terrific 1,400 metre horses.
Yeah, she had a lovely little tick over jump out, yep. Tefane. Craig Williams electing to ride her, probably my early thought there. Brendan, do you have a thought looking ahead to next week?
Yeah, Tefane's jump out was super down the straight. If she looks like she's feeling pretty good in herself after her feats in Brisbane, you'd think all things panning out nicely for her, she's going to take a fair bit of beating next week at Caulfield.
Let's get the boys' thoughts on yesterday in terms of runs of the day, horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Got a feeling there might be some similarities here. Dino, how are you looking at yesterday?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in first. I'm going to open the batting. Well, the run of the day in Sydney for me was Mwonga. The run in Melbourne was Pancho. And the horse to follow, I think this is the one we were going to mention, Winning Partner.
Yeah, absolutely, Dino. And if we're looking ahead today at racing at Swan Hill and Sale, anything we should be keeping an eye on?
So you've got a lot of short favourites at Sale, Warren. I'm thinking the best of them might be Rigel Star, race 8, number 6. I thought he trialled really well down the straight recently, and he might come back a pretty handy horse this preparation.
Great work this morning, Dean. Look forward to your contribution right throughout the week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Warren.
Brendan Delaney about to take over with Sunday Central. What are we looking forward to?
We've got plenty coming up on, as usual, full preview of Sale with Harry White and Swan Hill. John Ralph, with all the AFL news, hasn't it been a topsy-turvy couple of days? The Bulldogs getting rolled, Geelong getting turned over last night, the Brisbane game where they were requiring a point in the last 30 seconds and ended up kicking 7 points to secure a spot in the top four before we jump on the Form Express. Sunshine Coast, Nowra, Tamworth, Nowra, Cook, Kyle Galley with his thoughts on the trots at Cranbourne, and George Ferrugia with all things greyhound racing before we get stuck into the preview at Sale at quarter to 12. First of our racing commitments, 20 past 11 with the first at Healesville. So a busy couple of hours coming up as usual, Warren.
Last one via the SMS, a regular contributor, Hariba, probably working out a lot of thoughts of punters and racing fans. Great to see the high-pressure races in the legs of the quaddie at the Valley yesterday. Thank you for your contribution, Hariba. How do you summarise yesterday? Runs of the day, horse to follow, Brendan?
Pancho out of that highest pressure race. I thought he's done a terrific job. He proved me wrong. He can have run of the day. I'll go away from Winning Partner with the horse to follow. I think Cool's just about ready to win. Hopefully they can find a nice race on target towards his spring pass to pick up next time.
Great work, Brendan. Enjoy the next couple of hours with Sunday Central. I'll certainly enjoy listening. I'm with Pancho as the run of the day and Winning Partner as the horse to follow. So not a lot of difference there in my view. That's it for Correct Weight this morning. But stay tuned to RSN 927 for Brendan Delaney. Plenty to come with Sunday Central.